How many of you can say, it stormed last night? I mean, it stormed last night. And I have a Belgian shepherd that is terrified of the storm. And so when it storms, all of a sudden, something else is in bed with us, trembling and shaking, and it was our dog. But anyway, good to see all of you here in spite of the storm. And I want to put a tithing passage up here. And as they put that up there, I want to show you on the screen that we do have now. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about when I was in our series on church really does matter. We talked about giving, which I rarely do, but I did teach on that. There was a difference between tithe and offering. The tithe is the tithe, and it keeps the lights on, keeps everything functioning. Offerings are what God puts on your heart to give something extra towards. So we have a building improvement fund, four receptacles in the back, brand new. And if you want to give, every dime you put in there is going to go to a building improvement or repair. And I appreciate that. But now let's look at the tithe. And here it is. God loves a sad giver. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. What does it say? Cheerful. And God is able to shower all kinds of blessings on who? You. So in all things and at all times, you'll have everything you need. Now that's a New Testament promise about giving. Old Testament giving is different from New Testament. Old Testament mandated. New Testament is grace giving. Let every man give as he decides in his heart. But when we give now in the new covenant in a church like this, then you're giving to the work of the Lord. God doesn't need our giving because he owns everything already. He made the silver and gold. But his work needs our giving because we can reach so many people, and we are reaching so many people, more people than I've ever reached in my life, easy. All over the country, radio, online, it's just amazing the various, we're reaching tens of thousands of people a day. But our main focus is right here. Because whatever happens here, we export it. Amen? If it doesn't happen here, there's nothing to export. So the blessing of the house, we export it. And people are blessed the way you are. So I believe you ought not be in a church that you can't believe in what they're doing and how they're reaching people. And so if you believe in it, and if this is your church home, thank you for giving to the work of the Lord. Let's stand together, can we? I want you to say with me, I cannot outgive God. Now we have front row phobia here again. It's here. It's disappeared over here. The phobia has left, but there's a front row phobia right here. So somebody courageously come up and sit in the front row. I'm just asking. It's just a request. You don't have to. You get to. There we go. And they're visitors. Because I promise I don't bite. I don't come down off the stage and get in your face. None of that. It's just the front row. So we're going to learn that the front row is... Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, I think they're reserved. They're not. Yeah, they're reserved for you. All right? So let's lift up our hands and say, Lord, thank you for giving to me. Now I want to give to your work so that somebody is saved, encouraged, healed. And Lord, thank you that I can't outgive God. In Jesus' name. Now you see the ways to give. You know how to do it. Text to give, mail, online. Buckets are about to come by. If you're a visitor and you want to know how to make out a check, just make it out to TPC. Just TPC is all that you need. Thank you for giving to God's work. Bless you. Amen. 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 Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Wasn't it beautiful to see those folks get baptized today? I think we had eight people were baptized, and then when they had shut it down and the baptizer had taken off the robe and was moving on, somebody else came in and said, please baptize me. So he put the robe back on and baptized them. Amen. So we will make way for those that want to be baptized. Storms happen. It's funny to me when I speak on storms. Last week, it had stormed Saturday night. I spoke on storms Sunday morning. Today, I'm going to talk about storms. I say, Lord, I don't need this much confirmation. Right? But the series is called When Storms Strike, because it's not if, it's when. Storms strike. And today I want to talk to you about God's help in your storm. You're not going through a storm alone. Whatever the storm is, you're not alone. Even if no human is with you, He's with you. And I'm going to show you beyond the shadow of a doubt that God walks through our storms with us. And there's a purpose to the storm. And He's going to bring you through the storm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You're not going down, you're going through. So I want to read one of my favorite storm verses out of Isaiah 41:10. And we're going to put it on the screen here and let's look at it. What does God say right off the bat? Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Now look at the promises. I will, say it with me, strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will with my righteous right hand. Well, there's three promises right there in the middle of the storm. That He's with us. All right? And that's the way He's with us. He's going to strengthen, help, and uphold. Strengthen, help, and uphold. So thank you, Lord, for your word today. We need it. We're in a storm-tossed world, Lord. Storms are raging all around us, so many different kinds. But Lord, we want to have peace in the middle of the storm. And we do that by the revelation of the Word of God and the presence of your Spirit. So Lord, we pray, give us ears to hear today, eyes to see what you would say to us out of your Word in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him he's with you in it. All right, storms. When storms strike, we saw last week, that storms happen to us all. They happen to us all. Getting saved doesn't keep you from storms. Getting saved will create some storms. Storms come suddenly, generally. They shake and they challenge our faith. They shake us. They threaten our sense of well-being. Things that we care about are suddenly feel like they're threatened in the storm. They affect us emotionally, and sometimes they affect us physically. A storm. They come in all shapes and sizes. Last night we had a thunderstorm, but there's so many different storms. Spiritually speaking, there's so many different kinds. Paul mentions four kinds. In just 2 Corinthians 4, 8, and 9, quickly, the storm of being hard-pressed. That's a storm of being hard-pressed. That means constricted, confined. You're in a tight place. It's a storm. He said, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. It's the kind of storm where circumstances are pressing in on you from every direction. You know, we have a saying, when it rains, it pours. The hard-pressed kind of storm is when it's coming at you from all sides. First this, then that, then the other, and you're surrounded with these pressures, and that's a kind of storm. Then Paul talks about the storm of perplexity. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Notice, the storms happen, but they never take you out. Perplexity. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Storms of perplexity are when things seem out of control and you don't know where to turn, what to do, what decision to make, and your resources have run thin. That's the idea of we are perplexed. The storm of perplexity, but we're not in despair. God won't let it totally take us out. His hand is always on the dial. But then he talks about the storm of persecution. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. And we all know what that feels like. If you've walked with Christ, you've got a promise. If we live godly in Christ Jesus, we're going to experience persecution. And that is when there is a storm of attack in the form of rejection, threats, or abandonment over our faith. All of a sudden, there's a storm in our family because of our salvation, or a storm at work because we decided to talk about it. It's a storm of persecution, and it comes out of nowhere. And then fourth, he mentions the storm of being struck down. Here's a strong one. The storm knocks you to the mat. Talking about spiritual warfare. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Again, God's hand is on the dial. It happens, but he doesn't let it take you out. He doesn't let it destroy you, ruin you. He doesn't let it be the end of you. No, God's in control in every storm. He's the Lord of the storm. He's the Lord. He's the Lord who controls the storm. He is the Lord of the storms of life. You think the devil's in charge, but he's really not. God is in charge, ultimately. God is in charge. So even if you feel flung to the mat, and like the devil is standing over you, counting down 10, 9, 8, 7, he will not reach one. Because God will deliver you. Paul the Apostle said, the Lord has delivered me from every attack, from every evil, from all evil. Storms can last a short time, they can last a longer time. David's storm with Saul, who was stalking him, chasing him down, trying to kill him, lasted 10 years. Everybody say, Lord, not me, please. But it lasted 10 years. For 10 years, David, before he was king, went to sleep every night with one eye open. He slept in caves in the open fields, surrounded by protectors. Many of the Psalms came out of those storms where Saul was attacking him, chasing him, lurking behind every corner. Some of the greatest, most encouraging Psalms come from that. The Lord is my light and my salvation. I will not fear. The Lord is the strength of my life. I will not be afraid. What can man do unto me? That all came from David's storms. So his lasted a long time, but Paul and Silas are thrown in jail for one night. And then God gave them the original jailhouse rock. Because an earthquake came when they were praising God. And they were let out of jail, but they were in a storm, but it lasted one night. Some last long, some short, but a storm is a storm. And what God wants to do in our storm is speak and chisel on us and strengthen us and mature us and drive us deeper into his word. So we saw last time that storms have a purpose. There's a message in every storm. There's a message. God is talking in the storm. There's a message in every storm. A lesson to be learned. A wisdom to be gleaned. There's a maturity to be gained. There's faith to be strengthened. There's a purpose in every storm. There's a message in every storm. As Job's lengthy storm, and it was lengthy, 38 chapters long. 38 chapters long. But as his storm came to an end, it says the Lord answered Job. The Lord spoke to Job. God brought a message to him, and his message lasted four chapters. Four chapters of God telling Job how things were. There was a message in the storm. There's something God wants to teach us every single time. If we're listening, he's talking. If we're listening, he's got a message in every storm. We also saw they reveal our weaknesses and our strengths. You never really know where your faith is or where your walk is, how much you really trust the Lord until you're in a storm. When a doctor wants to know the condition of your heart, he gives you a stress test. When God wants to know the condition of our faith, he allows a storm. And it reveals the weaknesses. He said to the disciples all the time, where was your faith? Where is your faith? Oh, you of little faith. When did he say those things? Always on the tail end of a trial, a test, or a storm. He corrected and strengthened them. He spoke to them. They deepen our understanding of God, the storms do. They prepare us for the next level. They prepare our faith. David killed his lion, then he killed his bear, then he killed Goliath. He killed the lion and bear in private. He killed Goliath in public in front of everybody. But where did he get the faith to kill Goliath with the lion and the bear in private? Your lion, your bear, your battle that nobody knows about or very few know about. That you're struggling with and fighting and there's a storm. It's prepping you. It's preparing you to do something to the glory of God that everybody sees. Now today I want to talk to you about the Lord being your help in the storm. He's your help. He's a helper in the storm. He's never promised us a storm-free life. If you think getting saved is going to give you a storm-free life, stop. It's not. It may bring some extra storms. No, Christianity is not storm-free. But here's what it is. It's storm-proof. God will bring us to the level that storms don't do to us what they used to do. He teaches us to storm-proof our life. That is, to handle storms, navigate storms successfully in faith. In our text that we read at the very beginning, Isaiah 41:10, God is speaking directly through the prophet Isaiah to his people who have been taken away in captivity because of their own mess. They created a 70-year storm of their own making. God sent Jeremiah to them, some of the minor prophets to them, warned them to repent, get right with God, come into line with his will. They wouldn't listen. They rejected the word of the Lord. And so God carried them off into captivity. Their city was burned to the ground. Their temple was destroyed. They were carried away in chains to a foreign land with a foreign language, to foreign people and foreign culture. And in the middle of their storm, God speaks to them. And I find it interesting that he doesn't call them his failures or his disappointments. No, he calls them his servants, his chosen, his descendants, his children. Amen. Amen. I love that. Because, you know, if I'm them, I'm thinking, well, if God's going to talk to me, he's going to thrash me. He's going to take me to the woodshed. He's going to maybe tell me I'm no longer his. But no, God came with words of comfort to them in the storm. And even though they had seriously, really blown it, God still loves them. God still loves them. And so now in verse 10, he encourages them with these words, fear not, fear not. And here's why, because I'm with you. I want you to fear not. Don't be afraid. Here's why, because I'm with you. I'm with you. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I haven't walked away. I haven't disowned you. Haven't forsaken you. Haven't forgotten you. I haven't written you off because you messed up. No, I'm with you. And as far as God's concerned, knowing that is all the reason we need to not be afraid. Fear not. Here's why. Because I'm with you. And I got to know God is with me. Let me tell you something. I can go through anything if I know God is with me. I can go through any valley, climb any mountain. I can go through any fire if I know God is with me. I got to know that he's with me. How many of you can say amen to that? If you know God is with you, you can do anything, go anywhere, climb any mountain, do anything he gives you to do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so God says, all you need to know, Israel, is I'm with you. And we got to know that when we're in a storm. The disciples forgot it when they were out at sea and the storm came. They said to Jesus, "Don't you even care that we perish? We're drowning, and you don't seem to even care." And Jesus said, "You don't understand. I'm in the boat with you. I'm the one that got you here. I told you to get in the boat. And as long as I'm in your boat, you're okay. As long as I'm in the boat, it's going to float. If as long as I'm in the boat, you're all right. I'm with you. I'm with you." I read recently of a little boy who was afraid of the dark. And one night his dad told him to fetch a broom from the dark, unlit back porch. He told his dad, "I can't do it because it's so dark out there." And his dad said, "Son, don't be afraid. Jesus is out there." So the little boy went to the back of the house, opened the door, stuck his hand out into the porch and said, "Jesus, please hand me the broom." Isn't that the way we are sometimes? We say, "I trust you, but you go in there for me." Right? But you got to know he's with you. If he's for us, who can be against us? If he's with you, who can stand against you? If he's with you, who can defeat you? If he's with you, who can ruin you? If he's with you, who can destroy you? If he's with you, who can triumph over you? If he's with you. And we have this promise, Matthew 28:20. "I am with you always. I am with you always. Even to the end of the age. Even to the end of time. I'm not ever going to leave you. I'm never going to walk out on you. You can know in your darkest hour, I'm with you. I'm with you." So fear has no place in us due to the promise of his presence. Amen? Then God adds to fear not, as if that wasn't enough, but he says, "Now, not only fear not, but don't be dismayed." Fear and dismay are different. Dismay means to look around anxiously at what is around you. You're looking around anxiously. I remember distinctly my daughter talking me into getting on a ride at Six Flags. Oh my. I never had more regrets in a short period of time in my life. And as soon as they locked me into this thing and I realized what I had done, I did just this. I was dismayed. I'm looking around me. I'm looking at this loop-de-loop-de-loop thing. And I know that I'm headed there. And I'm going, "Oh, Lord, what have I done? My daughter talked me into this. This is not of God." And you know how they get a picture of you when you come down? I would never show you the picture. My daughter has the picture. And she will show it to me sometimes and say, "Do you remember this? I look dismayed." Dismayed. And I made a vow that day, never again. And I have stuck with that vow. Dismay means you're looking around in an anxious state of mind. That's dismay. You're looking around. It's about focusing on all the wrong things. That's dismay. You're focusing on all the wrong things. Here's the storm. You're focused on the problem, the enemy, the threat, the trial, the upcoming bills, the scary doctor's report, the troubled marriage, the rebellious children. You're looking all around you at all the things that are going stormy. You're focused on that. You're dismayed. You're anxiously looking about. God says, don't be dismayed. Fear looks within. Dismay looks around. But faith looks up. Faith looks up. Amen. Faith looks up. And what happens when you look up? You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is fixed on you. Isaiah 6:3. You will keep in perfect peace the person whose focus is on you. So God says, all right, you're in a storm, Israel. Let me tell you, don't be afraid and don't look around anxiously. But turn your focus on me, the Lord of the storm. Then God gave them three powerful promises, and I'm going to briefly just hit them real quick. He said, first of all, in your storm, I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to strengthen you. Now, Isaiah 41:10, one chapter before that, Isaiah 40, It's some of the most familiar passages we all know about, but I'm going to read it anyway. Here's what Isaiah said to the same people in the storm. He said to them, even young people become worn out and they get tired. Even the best of them trip and fall. But those who wait on and trust in the Lord will receive what? That's 10 of you. Let's try that again. Those that wait on and trust in the Lord will receive new strength, not from you or of you. Strength from above. If you wait upon the Lord and trust in the Lord in the middle of the storm, then He is going to send strength to you. He promises, I will strengthen you with supernatural strength. There's natural strength and there's supernatural strength. And I really do believe God allows some storms so that we will learn how to wean ourselves off of natural strength, which always has a limit and always has a breaking point. Natural strength, your strength and mine in our natural man will give out sooner or later. The gas tank will hit E. And we're out of gas. We're out of fuel. We're going on fumes. We're out of natural strength. But that's when God's strength kicks in. That's when God's strength kicks in. Supernatural strength has its source in the God who never wears out or gets tired. Let me tell you about the God of the Bible. He never says, I can't go on. He never says, I'm going to put up the white flag. He never says, I'm out of strength. He never says, I'm tired. He never says, I'm weary. He never says, I'm put out. He never says, I don't know what to do. No, He is a God of infinite, endless strength. And He wants that strength to be the strength that strengthens you and me. So look at Paul's prayer for the church. Look at this, Ephesians 3:16. This is so good. I pray that from His glorious unlimited resources, He will empower you with what? From where? From His Spirit. Where do we get this kind of supernatural strength? From His indwelling Spirit. And when you learn to lean on Him and lean on the inner strength of the Holy Spirit, you will run and not be weary. You will walk and not faint. People will drop around you, but not you, because you're not leaning on natural strength. You're leaning on supernatural strength. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I was thinking of Elijah. Elijah had his greatest miracle. He called down fire from heaven, the prophet of fire. He called down fire from heaven. It licked up the offering that the worshipers of Baal had put together. It licked up the water in the trenches. It devoured everything. And all of Israel fell on their face and said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And they renounced Baalism. Then Elijah went down and executed capital punishment on 400 prophets of Baal who had killed children. It was the highlight of his career, the highlight of his prophetic career. It was the zenith of his works and miracles. But then he heard that a woman named Jezebel, boy, she must have been something, Jezebel, because when he heard that she said, I'm going to do the same thing that you did to my prophets by this time tomorrow, he ran from her and he crashed and burned and he ended up under a juniper tree. And he's given up on life. He's given up. He says, Lord, it's enough. Take my life. I'm not going to do it, but I'm asking you to do it for me. I'm giving up on life. I'm not better than my fathers. I'm not greater than my fathers. I've had my time in the light, in the limelight. I'm done. He fell asleep. An angel wakes him up, and an angel says, I want you to rise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. Rise and eat. Twice the angel said this to him. Rise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. We don't know what the angel gave him. We do know that it was not natural, normal, typical, worldly food. It was food from heaven. Because the Bible says he ate it. And on the strength of one meal, he went 40. I said, 40 days and nights, journeying in the wilderness on foot on one meal. Now that's a happy meal. Yeah, that's a happy meal. That's Wonder Bread. It was probably the original angel food cake. Whatever it was supernatural. Now watch this. Watch this now on that one meal. So what is the analogy for us? What does that tell us as we look at this Old Testament story that was true? What does it tell us? There is a supernatural food. It's in your lap. You're holding it. It's called the Bible. There's supernatural food. And what does God say to us every single day? Rise and eat. Because the journey is too great for you. The world's too bad. The devil's too mean. You need to get up and get that bread. And you need to feed on that word. Because as you feed on that word, you're going to be able to go the distance. Because the journey's too great for all of us. Who is sufficient for these things? Nobody in the natural. We can't walk with God on our own. We can't walk the Christian life on our own. We can't forgive nasty people on our own. No, we need the help and the power of the Holy Ghost. And so you've got to access the connect points. You've got to access the connect points God has given us to tap into His strength. And they are the Word, they are prayer, and they are fellowship. Those are the connect points. So every day I get up, I go straight into my study. I'm just telling you. And I open up that Bible. Many of us are going through the Bible in a year together. I open up that Bible and I know that I am accessing not a normal book. No, it is supernatural angel food. It is supernatural. The words that I speak to you, Jesus said, are spirit and they are life. So everybody say, strength. Then he says, I will help you. I love this. I'll help you. God is our refuge and strength. This is one of my favorite Psalms, 46, 1 and 2. God is our refuge and strength, an abundantly available help in trouble. And so we need not fear, even if the world blows up, and sometimes I think it's gonna, and the mountains crumble into the sea. We will not be afraid. Why? Because He is our abundantly available help. Help means critical assistance that meets an urgent situation. Delivering very needed aid. He says, I'm not just available, I'm abundantly available. I'm not just kind of there, I'm totally there. Man may fail you. The police may get there too late. The fire truck may not get there in time to save your house. But you'll never say that about God. He's abundantly available. I was in a store the other day. I went into a store to spend money. I was looking for something. And the first thing I needed was help. I looked around for help. And I had that look on my face. I need help. Right? I need help. Somebody help me. And then nobody came. I'm looking around. Looking lost, because I was. Nobody came and helped me. And so I went up and said, can somebody help me over in this department? So I said, oh yeah, I'll contact somebody. Nobody ever came. Nobody ever came. I'm sitting here with money to spend and nobody's coming. I got money to spend and nobody's coming. So there's no help. So ask me if I bought something. No, I did not buy anything. Because there was nobody there to help me. They weren't there to help. But you'll never say that about God. As soon as He hears you say, help, He's abundantly available. Bang. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God says, I'll help you. So we say with confidence, Hebrews 13, 6, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. And last, He said, I'm going to uphold you. That's the last thing He said. I'm going to uphold you. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. I'm going to strengthen, help, and I'm going to uphold you. When you're barely holding on, God will hold you up. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get to the place, I'm tired, I'm weary, and I feel like I'm barely holding on, but I know very well He's got a better grip on me than I've got on Him. When you feel like you're running out of strength, He holds you up. Steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord. He delights in His way. Though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Satan says, I'm going to take you down. God says, I'll uphold you. Unbelief says, you will one day fall and perish. God says, I will uphold you. Your flesh cries out, you can't resist me. God says, I will uphold you. Your trembling heart says, how can I endure these trials, this fire, these difficulties? God says, I will uphold you. That's why Paul could say at the end of his life, I fought a good fight. I finished my assignment. I kept the faith, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God, who is going to get all of us across the finish line. Can we stand together today? Everybody say, he's going to help me. He's going to strengthen me. He's going to uphold me. If you believe that, give the Lord a hand of praise. That's right. So I know storms can be scary. They can. We have several people in our church facing storms, scary doctor reports, difficulties at home. Storms, they happen all the time. But I know we get to the place they don't affect us like they used to. Peter 3 times denied the Lord. Right with Jesus standing there. Don't know him, blankety blank, I don't know him. But then later, he's in prison with guards around him, shackled. And they've told him tomorrow, he's going to take your head off. And he's sleeping like he took a bunch of NyQuil. The angel has to hit him on the side to wake him up. How is he sleeping in the midst of a storm where he could be gone the next day? He'd groan. His trust factor had gone way up. God's in control. Amen. Can we lift our hands to the Lord? Jesus, thank you. I want all of you that are in a storm, I want you to come down to the front, and I'm going to come down and I'm going to pray for you. I just want to lay hands on you and pray for you. I'm going to go quickly down the line, but I want to pray for strength for you. If you're in a storm, storm in your marriage, a storm in your finances, a storm with your children, a storm of temptation. You're in a storm. And the wind is howling and the rain is falling, just like last night. The floods are beating against the house of your faith. And you need strength. You need the strength of God.